as we teach about the women in the Bible, one of the things I'm going to do is occasionally ask a question, and it's just a fun question. And so the first question I'm going to ask is, who is the second woman named in the Bible? And who is she? Don't look now. You're supposed to be listening to the message. Does anyone know right off the top of your head, second woman mentioned in the Bible? Popular woman, isn't she? Okay. Not Noah's wife. By the way, what was Noah's wife's name? Yeah. Today we're going to celebrate women, and of course, in particular, we're celebrating Mother's Day, but we celebrate women in general. And so today we're going to begin a 13-week series on the women of the Bible. So we're going to be looking at the good, the bad, the faithful, the unfaithful. All of the women, I've included women from as many walks of life as I can. Some that through strength of character became well-known and powerful women, and some who were thrust in that position without choice or decision. They've always played a key role in the working out of God's will in creation. Now, the role of women in our society has kind of ebbed and flowed with the different times in history. Generally, we find that when a country is grounded in the Word of God and her people are generally faithful to the gospel, women are seen more closely to the way God intended them to be. They are treated with respect and love, dignity, and honored as the crown achievement, as it were, of God's creation. If you would, look with me in Genesis 1, 26 and following. And I'll put 26 up, but I'm going to actually read a little bit further than that. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heaven, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." So we start out in Genesis 1:26. God says, "Let us make man in our image." And in this case, the word man there contains the word woman. It's man. Let us create man or mankind. It could be read, let us create man and woman in our image. Woman was not created only to be a helper of man, although the word there does say that. She was created in the image and likeness of God. And so in society, we have this idea that, well, woman was created to help us. And so we go to work. She's supposed to clean the house and cook and mow the lawn and do everything else that needs to be. She's supposed to help. And somehow that got stuck in our mind, but the whole part about The whole part about women being equal, being created in the image of God, having dominion over all of the animals on the earth, that whole part seems to somewhere have gotten lost. Well, it can't get lost. We're supposed to remember that women are the crowning achievement of God's creation. And you say, well, Pastor, how is it? Well, really, men and women together are superior in creation. We have dominion over the earth. We're supposed to subdue it. And yet, we're very weak creatures. We die rather easily. We are given to hunger and thirst, to the elements. We freeze to death. We die of dehydration. And on top of that, now as we look back, we are flawed because of our sin nature. But man was created, and then woman was created. Really refinement of what had been created. Women are a complement to man and are essential in our existence. For instance, there's not a person on the earth that has been brought forth without a woman. Amen? It's like this whole movement where that really started in earnest in the U.S., where women and men need to be separate, and in some ways, women are trying to be more masculine, and men are becoming more feminine, and it's everything seems so jumbled together. There's an issue. God said, let us make man in our image, and he created them male and female. And he created them male and female for a reason. We have mixed this all up. Women should not be seen as a trophy. So it's not, I am man, and here is my wife. But think about it a different way. When you're working a puzzle, doesn't matter how big the puzzle is, but the bigger the puzzle, the better example this will be. Have you ever worked a puzzle and realized there's a piece missing? Now, I don't know about your house, but in my house, if a piece goes missing, World War III breaks out. Somebody has that piece. Where is the piece to that puzzle? Somebody's got to have it. It cannot be that that piece of the puzzle accidentally fell on the factory floor when they were boxing this puzzle. It is somebody took it. Who's got it? Where is, and literally World War III, 9 times out of 10, it landed upside down on our beige carpet, and you just can't see it glancing at it. Doesn't matter. War breaks out until that piece is found, because without it, the puzzle is incomplete. It doesn't matter, really, that it's just a solid piece of color out of maybe one extreme corner or one extreme side of the puzzle. It may not even have anything to do with the picture itself. If a piece is missing out of the puzzle is incomplete. Would you, for instance, believe it or not, I've seen this, go to a yard sale and see a puzzle that says one piece missing? How many of you would buy that puzzle? Nobody. He's a bush. Just so you know, it's okay to buy that puzzle and then gift it. Not to me. But you would never buy it for yourself. If you assemble a puzzle and all of a sudden a piece is missing out of it, you're not going to put it back in the box and then keep it. You're going to donate it to a rummage sale. Or you're going to throw it away, because really, if one little piece is missing, the puzzle is useless. Likewise, the Bible says that when a man and a woman are married, they become one flesh. See, there's three personalities in every marriage. There's the husband, there's the wife, and then there's the husband and the wife. So there's John and there's Tish, and then there's John and Tish. And literally, they are melded together and cannot be separated. I am a completely different person being married to Tish. I cannot be undone. It cannot be separated. It's very much a picture of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, once existent and always existent, cannot be separated. They are the triune God. This is one of the reasons that God hates divorce, because it is a picture of the Trinity, that what God has put together, let no one tear apart, because it's this picture. Every life, early in the life of the human race, man sought to dominate over their wives. We see it very early in the Bible. This is not the way that God intends it to be. It was never meant that man would be superior or that they would dominate. She is equal in everything except differs only in gender. So as far as created beings, the difference between a man and a woman as far as superiority goes is simply gender. It's not man is up here and women is somehow down here. God never intended it to be that way. Of course, there are some differences. In order of creation, Adam is given headship. He was created first. He's given headship, but not superiority. He's given the answer, in other words, the responsibility, but he's not given the superiority. And that is very hard sometimes for us to understand. In fact, next to music, in fact, arguably even more than music, the role of women in the church is probably the most argued about subject ever. Can women teach in the church? Can women stand in the pulpit? I've offered women, I'd love for you to give a testimony, and 9 times out of 10, they will gladly stand anywhere else up here, but not here. And I'm like, but you can spread out your notes. I've got bulletins up here. I've got my Bible up here. I've got this. And it comes with these handy footrests that drive Gail crazy when I put my feet on them. But they'll say, yeah, but that's not where women are supposed to stand. Now, some are like, I'm not the pastor. That's a place of honor for the pastor. Women are equal, mutually interdependent. In many areas, women excel far beyond men. in the ability to endure mistreatment, pain, sorrow, and separation, just to name a few. These are generalities, of course. There are differences in everyone. But through pride and ignorance and sinful attitudes, men have, since the beginning, sought to suppress women. That's not what God ever intended. But think about other countries and how they treat their women. If you go just south of the border, there's this idea of machismo. And so if you're familiar with Latin American culture at all, the machismo, the man is the king of the castle. Now, again, this broad generalities, every home is different. But in many homes, the woman is subservient to the man. They're supposed to do the cooking and the cleaning and live with whatever household the husband creates for them. And arguably, you don't find a lot of complaints, usually from either side. They're taught that from such a young age, it's the culture. But then you go to Arab countries. Arab countries are very interesting. In Arab countries, women are property. You can buy them, sell them, trade them, have sometimes many of them. If you go to Saudi Arabia, what you will find is women have to walk behind the man a certain number of feet. If he has more than one wife, what you will find is they will be chained together. The daughters, if you've seen pictures of women and they have these veils and they have coins on the veils, that is the dowry, the price that will be paid to their suitor. They can be married off depending on the country, but generally speaking, as young as 11, 12, 14 is usually the age. Women have to remain covered from head to toe. They always must wear the hijab when they are outside in public. Only their hands are to be seen. Right? It is such a different culture. It's one of the things, if you remember, Tehran in 1979, before the Islamic Revolution, was very much like Cincinnati or any other modern American city. There were grocery stores and hustle and bustle of cars and buses, and women worked in every strata of industry and commerce, as did men. Women taught in university. Now, women may not attend university. In most Muslim countries, women are not to be educated. They're not to drive. They are not given the right to vote. And we see this picture where a country lives by the word of God. Women are treated as God intended. It is often pointed out that Eve brought sin into the world. Technically, this is true. However, just as Eve brought sin into the world, it's often overlooked that it is also woman who brought redemption into the world. Mary gave birth to Jesus Christ, and through him we are saved and have our being. So to begin our study of women in the Bible, we're going to look at Eve. And there are a few things we know about Eve and things we can infer. First of all, Eve was created. So Genesis chapter 2, verse 21, Eve was created. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, took one of his ribs, closed up its place with flesh, and the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Eve was not just part of creation. Eve was created as a helpmeet to Adam, like him in every nature, in every way, created in the image and likeness of God, imbued with all of the abilities and the weaknesses of Adam. She is called woman, she is called female, she's called Eve, for she is the mother of all living. And it says this in Genesis 3:20. It says, the man called his wife's name Eve because she's the mother of all living. Genesis 3:20. It's interesting to note, we're not going to get real deep into the name Eve because the morphology there is just complex. I could teach weeks just on the name Eve. But it's interesting to note that she's named Eve, the mother of all living, after the sin was brought into the world and the curse was pronounced. It is then that Adam calls her Eve, the mother of living, after she has introduced death into the world. Through her disobedience, she did bring that. We're not going to spend a lot of time on it. Eve was the first woman to be given the title wife. Genesis 2:24, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Husband and wife become one flesh. Inseparable, a picture of the very nature of God. I am not me without my wife. Can you imagine, though, being the first wife or the first husband? With all the complexities of the human relationship, it would seem to me that being the very first would be so hard. Not only is there not someone to talk to, but no one's ever lived through it before. Now, of course, they were closer to creation. It was early in the fall, and so there weren't as many of the sin issues involved. But they still had their own complexities. Everything was new. There was no mother. There was no father. Someone to run to explain why is this happening and why is this happening and why is he like this and why is she like that. And none of that was there. It was a clean slate. She is the first woman and now the first wife. Eve was the only woman ever to live to be without sin. She knew the feeling of complete freedom from sin. She knew what it was like to be holy. Romans 7:21 through 24. And we'll put that up. I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being. But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Eve knew life without this struggle. She knew a time in her life where there wasn't this argument between the two natures the nature of God and the Creator and the nature of sin and death. And literally, Paul says, the things that I want to do, the things that I know that they're right, I don't do those things. I want to do those things. I try to do those things. I work on doing those things. But these things that I don't want to do, that I'm not supposed to do, that I know they're sinful, these are the things I do. Because there's a war that goes on inside each one of us. A war that had to have reminded Eve every time it broke out the price of her decision. As far as we know, she was the first to encounter the serpent, the first to give in to temptation. In Genesis chapter 3, if you'll turn there, I'm going to read 1 through 7. This is her encounter with the serpent. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast in the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. I want to point out a couple things. Eve is talking to the serpent. They're having this discussion, and the serpent says, "Oh, no, it's fine. I'll just open your eyes, and you know, God doesn't want you to have that." And Eve looked at it, and the Bible says that she saw the fruit, and it looked good, and yeah, you know, it makes someone wise. And so she took a piece of the fruit, and she ate it, and she gave it to her husband who was with her. So wait a minute. While she's standing there talking to this serpent, he's with her? He didn't say, excuse me, dear, we shouldn't be doing this. And maybe he did. We don't know. This picture, we only know what is actually written. Eve was the first to know separation from God. Even though brief in nature, she knew the separation even before Adam, although she is the first woman to fully experience it. Moving down to verse 8, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and the wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?'" By the way, he's not asking for their address. He knows where they are physically. This is a spiritual question. Where are you? What have you done? And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you you were naked? When did that become a thing? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" And the man, being brave and strong and responsible and resourceful and fulfilling all of the, the attributes that he was gifted with as being the head at creation, said, the woman did it. And that is why men are the head. Literally, he said, the woman that you gave me the fruit and I ate of it. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, based on all of the attributes and the gifts and the resourcefulness that he had given her at creation, the serpent deceived me. The serpent did it. By the way, she says, the serpent deceived me and I ate. This makes her the first to confess, the first to have to answer to the Lord for her mistakes. The emotions, the internal pain that she must have felt, as well as all the new thoughts she must have been thinking. Remember, for the first time, she knows the difference between good and evil, and all of the thoughts that now flood her mind that she didn't have before she disobeyed God. Eve brought a curse upon herself and all woman. Genesis 3:16, to the woman he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you. So the curse brings with it three major hardships for the woman. First, she will have pain in childbirth. By the way, it's a pain that men will never know because we can't have children. Second, she will want to be contrary to her husband. Literally, she will want to control her husband or be contrary to him. So, many times I've said, remember, everyone really, in their own way, is a control freak. When they ate of the fruit, it began this constant struggle for control. The woman to control her husband, and the man's need and desire now to dominate over her. And this battle has fought ever since. That is not how God created us. So third is that he will dominate or rule over her. That's not how creation was. God created them, man and woman, male and female. He didn't say he created man to keep women in check. He didn't say he created women to keep their men in check. He said he created man. Let us create man in our image and in our likeness. And he created them male and female, and he blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Into this new and strange world, she would bring her children. Eve was the first mother. In chapter 4, by the way, the second woman mentioned in the Bible is mentioned in this chapter, but do not read forward or you will be in sin. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother, Abel, Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep and Cain a worker of the ground. Can you imagine going through pregnancy, giving birth, and being the first person to have ever done so? I remember when Tish and I went through that experience, and every new thing was like, is this supposed to happen? And thank goodness there was a book called What to Expect When You're Expecting. And it didn't cover everything, but it covered a lot of things. So it was at least helpful because we didn't always live close to family. So sometimes we're like, I don't know. Is this normal? And it's a new experience. But imagine if you're the first and what Eve must have gone through. But also, Eve was the first one ever to hold a newborn baby. The first to nurse, the first to wean, the first to hear a baby's first words, to watch a baby's first steps. She and Adam were able to watch Cain and Abel grow from infancy to children, to their teen years, to young adults, and finally to adulthood. She saw them grow and become proficient in their jobs. The many times she must have been very proud and the times that she was disappointed. And then Eve was the first to lose a child. Genesis 4:8, Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Can you imagine the pain? No mother to call, no siblings to console her, no pastor to talk to. The feelings, the emotions, the heartache, and the impact of knowing that you had brought sin into the world. I do wonder what she felt. Did she feel guilt? Did they have the hope of seeing Abel again, or was it simply, he's gone? We don't know because the Bible doesn't say how long Eve lived. Adam lived to be 930 years old. It says they had other sons and other daughters. Eve held in her hands perfection. She was sinless. She was holy. She was perfect and in perfect communion with God. And then it was gone. Forever changed was her relationship with God. Forever changed was her relationship with her husband. Her life now no longer permitted inside the garden. This is not, however, the end of the story. For it was also through Eve that redemption of man would come. And as God had promised, though the serpent would bruise his heel, he would crush its head. What Eve saw slip through her fingers, we receive the promise of the restoration of. So Romans 5, 18 and 19. Consequently, just as condemnation for all people came through one transgression, so too, through one righteous act, came righteousness leading to life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of one man, many were made sinners, so also through obedience of one man, many will be made righteous. Interesting picture here as I was writing this. I thought, isn't it funny? What Eve lost from the fruit of the tree was restored on another tree. 2,000 years ago, outside of Jerusalem, on a hill that we call Calvary. What a wonderful creation that women are. Of all the things that we see and all of the wonders of creation, it will be a neat thing as we look at the women that God has included in the Bible. Some of them named, some of them not named. There are over 3,000 men mentioned in the Bible, less than 600 women, less than 200 that have names given them. And we will study just a short, small number of them. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, is the Lord's teaching to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, men could not be, actually even exist, without the creation of woman. So great a gift. The ability to see another part of you, because you have said, I created them in my likeness. So even so much more, a revelation of yourself to your creation. Father, we thank you for the women and the mothers that are gathered with us today. Father, we pray a blessing over them. They endure a hardship men never know, often being mistreated, ill appreciated, overlooked. And yet, Lord, you have created them as the crown of your creation, to be equal with us, to walk with us, that we may love together and minister together. Truly a gift like none other. Father, we pray a blessing over the women here, that you would encourage them as they walk in the walk, whatever road they may be on at this time. Wife, mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, in the middle of difficult times, some single, some ill, some separated, some distraught, some dealing with the grief of loss, and some celebrating the birth of new life. Father, whatever road they are on at this time, we pray that you would bless them, that you would fill them with the knowledge of your presence and your love for them. For truly you are the God that created woman in your likeness and in your image. Truly you are an awesome God. And may your name be blessed forevermore. Amen.